This hour of the Jason Rant Show brought to you by PRMI, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So there was a protest last night outside of the West Precinct in Seattle. I happened to be nearby and I heard it going on. I was like, I'm going to go check this out. And I am so glad I did, because these people are, as you know, insane. Now, it was supposed to be a vigil for Dante Wright, but none of these people care about Dante Wright. They are using this to forward their anti-police and anti-capitalist agenda. That is very clear. That's why two nights ago they decided to destroy some business fronts. Starbucks, for example. Nothing says BLM like destroying Starbucks. So SPD ended up arresting three radicals last night. Two for vandalism, one for obstruction. They were tagging the property despite repeatedly being warned by the police at least four times, maybe five. They said over and over and over again, stop or we will arrest you. And instead of stopping, they just got called white supremacists over and over and over again.
Nazis! White supremacists! Nazis! White supremacists!
Does that person seem mentally stable to you?
No.
No.
No, they do not.
No.
This is Seattle Police Department. We are making a lawful arrest under Seattle Municipal Property Disruption. You've been given multiple warnings. We are requesting your compliance.
It just goes on and on. And what was interesting, they were set up on 9th, a whole bunch of officers on bikes. They were sort of staged there. And they were ready to go in if they needed to. And so the dude on the PA system was across the street on the other side. I don't know how they saw so clearly. They must have been tapped into some kind of video camera security system at the West Precinct. Because I was across the street, and it's not that far of a street. I couldn't see any of what they were very specifically seeing. And so at one point, they're all like, yeah, okay, we're coming after someone very specific. Listen to how they targeted an arrest.
You, in the black with the black hair, you are under arrest.
I just look, the dude is in a car across the street. He's all like, you in the black hair, you're done. You're out. We're coming for you.
You, in the black with the black hair, you are under arrest for improper damage. We have bikes moving in. Do not oppose them or resist arrest. You will also be subject to arrest.
Bicyclists come in.
You in the black bandana, stop. You are under arrest.
And I'm there, and I'm pretty close. And all the video, by the way, is up at my Twitter feed. If you text the keyword rants to 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you a link to my Twitter feed. You can go there and go through some of the video. I could not see any of what he was seeing. I saw the group. I couldn't see the dude with the bandana. Or, I'm sorry, I shouldn't gender the person. The lunatic radical with the bandana. Couldn't see it.
You're telling me dude is a gendered term?
Well, dude is...
I don't know.
Is,
I call everybody dude. Doesn't everybody just call everybody dude?
Well, dudette.
Okay. The dude or the dudette?
Yeah.
Okay.
Resist arrest. You've been warned several times about property damage.
And the dude is all like, I'm just done with you people. I've told you many, many times, dum-dums, and y'all still are doing the same nonsense. Still just tagging our stuff. And I think it was the chalk. But they still got to clean it all up because it's just filled with vulgarities like F the police, that kind of stuff, I think.
Anyone who interferes will be under arrest.
Oh, back
Do not interfere with the arrest. We have probable cause to make an arrest for property destruction.
The one thing I love about this beat is I'll go in and I'll mix it up because it wasn't large enough of a group for me to go by like and not be seen without being uncomfortable. Even though I dress up as Antifa at this point.
That's
or
good.
Antifa meets narc. But when the cops are there, I feel more comfortable. There were a couple who spotted me immediately. Cops. Like, immediately. Which made me feel worse. Because I'm like, I'm trying to blend in like Antifa. And you spotted me in a heartbeat as a narc. So now I've... And then he was giving me a hard time, I think. He was like, why are you following me? and I was totally following him in case I got stabbed, because then he would protect me from the person who would stab. So at the end of all of this, I am walking away, and I go on the side where they were previously staged, and they, at that point, the bicycle cops had gone, presumably back inside the precinct, and there were just three patrol vehicles on the side of the street. That one woman who was yelling Nazi white supremacist at the beginning?
Yeah, the joyful lady?
Yeah. She was standing in front of one of the vehicles. And her face was a half of an inch away from the window on the passenger side of this patrol car. And she was, and I am not kidding you, when I say that she was saying the same sentence over and over and over again for at least 10 minutes.
Ugh.
And this is what she was saying.
Look at this bike. Spin. Look at this bike. Spin. Look at this white.
Look at this white skin. I don't know why she was saying it. I'm assuming it's some kind of commentary on racism and Dante Wright, I guess.
It's a bad one.
It's a horrible one. I'm not, and it was in that same tone for 10 minutes, because last night I was on with our friend Jack Stein, who used to be a fill-in here before Cairo stole him and put him on at night, and I was doing a quick live report, and I'm doing it for about almost 10 minutes. She started before I picked up the phone to go and talk with him. I talked with him about 6 minutes or so, hung up. She was still there doing this. She did not stop.
Did she not get tired?
She did not stop! And I'm walking by and I'm filming it, and part of me, I cut it off just because what if she just starts to follow me and then walks with me all the way home and just like, nope, I'm out. I don't want anything to do it. So I just turned it off, but I got a little bit of it. Look at this white skin over and over and over again.
I want to know what the cop is thinking, like sitting inside the car, and he's just like, I see you, lady. You have white skin.
Yeah, we get it.
Now,
and she did. She was very white. Like, so, pale.
Like, she had a vitamin D deficiency?
Yeah, it's almost like she was bragging. Or maybe she was asking for help. Like, what do I do? I can't tan for anything. And this was her way of asking for assistance.
Well, it's a very weird way, and I get it. These people are lunatics in Seattle, but...
Oh, my God.
Like, explain at least... Don't just say the same three words over and over again for 10 minutes. Give me some thought. Let me know.
Five words.
Okay, I...
Look at this white skin.
Okay, 5 words. 3 words, it's all the same. They're both odd numbers. It's close enough.
So weird. These people are nuts. They were not all... There was a few Antifa-style people who I feel like I recognize, but for the most part, these were just... the BLM radicals, which is why you didn't see smashed windows.
Hold on, you're starting to recognize Antifa members out of these things?
Oh, I have always been able to recognize by voice. You can recognize by voice a lot of these folks, because they sound very similar.
That's incredible able to just, like, pick up on these people.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
That's what separates me from everybody else. Jack Stein last night asked me, why do I go out there and risk getting outed by these people and then potentially stabbed in the face? And the answer I gave, it's very heroic, was because no one else is doing it. No one else is doing it.
Oh, you're such a hero, Jason.
But someone has to do this. Believe me, this was last night. It was at like 9:30. I was so tired. I'm tired all the time. I could have went to bed at 7 o'clock last night. I was ready to go to bed at 7 o'clock last night. I was so tired. And then this happened as I'm walking home. And I was like, oh, gosh. And so I went home. I got undressed and then dressed again.
That's
to go back out.
Good start.
And then I wandered about, and I was just out there for so long, and I didn't want to, but no one else was doing it.
You're not a hero. Don't call yourself a hero.
Oh, I am a hero.
We don't need more heroes in this world.
The heroes out there are soldiers, right? Doctors, teachers, the ones who go to work, police officers, firefighters, and talk show hosts. All heroes.
It's a very broad list that you got
there. No, it's not broad at all. It's just six groups.
What about
all,
like,
heroes?
Bodega workers?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Even the ones with, like, the cool cats?
Even them. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
So we've been talking about the crisis near Meany Middle School, on Meany Middle School. Miller Park is attached to Mini Middle School, and it is simply overcome with homelessness. Simply overcome. It is outrageous how bad it's gotten. I legitimately lost count when I was there. There was at least 40, maybe 50, probably more tents. And the homeless people there don't want to leave. Well, they're going to have to. We talked a little bit about this on Monday. We broke the story. It has since been confirmed. City officials will be moving in as early as Friday morning to sweep this encampment. They will be sweeping starting on Friday. It will be gone by Monday when students show up to class as part of the reopening. It has gotten to be untenable. The fire department has had to respond to the Miller Park. They've sent responders over 23 times between October of last year and April of this year, 14 of which were for illegal burns or tent fires next to a school. Folks there have been offered time and time again places for them to go. They're saying no. Okay. Well, you've got until Friday to start moving your stuff. Every single person who's there will be offered a place to relocate. There is shelter space available. 100% every single person who is currently at that shelter has a place to go on Friday when the city comes in and starts to sweep the place. Every single one up until this point has been offered shelter. That includes space at the navigation center, which is low barrier, which means there are no rules. That includes place at Jan and Peter's Place Women's Shelter. That includes places at the Executive Hotel Pacific. And even at times, they've been offered tiny home villages. At those places, you get wraparound services, case management. If they say no, that is on them. You can only do so much. The PTA, meanwhile, as of Monday, was getting in the way, trying to get parents to put in place some pressure to get them to stop the sweeps. Parents, as you heard on the show on Monday, said, no, our kids' safety is more important than your virtue signaling. So we'll see how this all ends up going. That it got this far should alarm every single parent. And yet, because it's happening in Seattle, I don't think it's alarming many people. It's alarming some. It's alarming those of you who live in Seattle and listen to the show. Sane people find sane people. There's only 17 of us in the city, and so we find each other. I don't think people realize how bad this is and how bad it's going to get. Because you know what? Right now, the city can use the CDC guidelines during a pandemic as an excuse as to why they're not going to clean up these encampments. Well, those guidelines are going to change at some point, and then we're left with a city where you're going to have to come up with a new excuse as to why you're not doing these sweeps. They're doing this sweep right now because it's an emergency. There are lots of emergencies all around the city that are not being handled. It is insane. So when this happens on Friday, we'll have more. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
This story is insane to me, and I don't buy any of it.
You don't buy it?
Here's the story.
Oh, it's so...
Okay. Happens out in Lake Forest, California.
Okay.
Dude finds himself facing a hate crime, a charge, after he allegedly tried to kidnap a woman with the intent, apparently, of sexually assaulting her. He had what looked like a handgun at the or a gun at the time. Police say Michael Songbong Ray, 37 years old, might have done this as retaliation for all of the anti-Asian hate crimes he has been seeing reported around town and really around the country. He thought the woman he was retaliating against was white, and this was payback. She wasn't white. She was Asian.
That's so...
CBS says police say an Asian woman was sitting in the driver's seat of her car near her apartment when she looked up to see Ray standing at the door holding a handgun. And by the way, Ray is Korean. She told police she did not recognize Ray, who ordered her to get into the back of her car if she wanted to live. The woman said she offered Ray her wallet and money, and he replied that they would, quote, do that later, before getting into her car through the passenger side door and pushed her into the back seat, according to police. She struggled with him, who she told police began to grope her, then yelled to a maintenance worker nearby that he had a gun. Police say Ray got out of the car, ran through the apartment community, driving away in his own car. Surveillance cameras captured his license plate, and then they were able to find him. They searched his home, and they found a BB gun that was similar to the weapon that was described by the woman. So he has since been charged with a hate crime. He would not talk to the reporter who showed up at his home. He's since been released on bail. I think it was $100,000 bail.
$100K.
So he's out on bail. So reporters over at CBS LA, they spoke to one of the neighbors who's kind of freaked out, understandably so.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, that's awful. And it seems like my safety is definitely a concern.
Okay, maybe. I don't think he's going to grope you, but we don't know what... I don't know. So detectives say that Ray targeted the woman because he thought she was white based on his own statements, and that the assault was in retaliation for hate crimes that have skyrocketed against Asian people, which is, that's them editorializing. I don't believe that part. I think this is a story he's telling them as a means to get out of the crime he may have committed. Meaning, take pity on me, I was angry about a situation, hashtag social justice, I did this, it's justified, you could understand my anger, I was just so upset at all these hate crimes. I think that's an excuse he's using to try to cover up the actual crime, if he's guilty.
Because everyone's
innocent until proven guilty.
I guess I'm gullible, and I had no doubt that this guy is just an idiot once I read this story.
They didn't show a picture of the victim, right?
Correct.
And it's certainly possible that an Asian woman could look like a white woman. You are an Asian man who looks like a Latino Asian white man.
Yeah, this story has me in fear right now. What if somebody mistakes my identity and they beat me up?
Well, not somebody, an Asian.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, like, what if an Asian guy's mad and he wants retaliation and so he punches me in the face?
Well, how about this? Do you forgive that person? Understanding the anger from the Asian American community.
Just like immediately and then join him on his quest?
Well, I didn't see you. You added that part.
Well, yeah, but I mean, maybe I'm with the guy and I'm like, hey.
I mean, this is not improv. You say yes and. I'm just saying, do you forgive the person?
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
Do you say, I understand the compulsion?
Like, hey.
Probably, right?
Sure, but I'm like, hey.
Okay, well, hold on. Okay. A part of you, you're the victim, so you would obviously not go all in. But a part of you, even as the victim, would say, okay, at least I guess I understand. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's not real. He's looking for it. He got caught, and now he's just saying this because maybe he can get a little bit of a pass. Or at least he's expecting a little bit of a pass.
This guy's an idiot.
Well, yeah, very clearly.
He's crazy.
And by the way, how is this any kind of retaliation against, like, the Asian American community, of which he's a part but was not victimized, according to the story? They don't indicate that. So you're just going to go ahead and target a random white woman for sexual assault?
Yeah.
To retaliate? That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't add up.
So now I've convinced you.
I mean, I get it. Like, I just think this guy's a lunatic.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, assuming he's guilty. We don't know. What if? How about this? What if it was a white guy who did it, who looks Asian, and they went after the Asian guy who looks white, and they arrested him? What if there's another twist? You ever think about that?
This isn't an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
No, this is like a what's it called? Inception.
Yeah.
Meets Memento. It all happened backwards.
Memento was awful.
Oh, shut up. Okay, you're almost fired.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. It's the time of the show where we completely ignore the city of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Pierce County, where 34-year-old Deputy Daniel McCartney, who was married with three children when he was fatally shot, responding to a home invasion robbery in 2018, there was a huge setback for a lawsuit that was filed on behalf of his family. They claimed that the department was short-staffed at the time, and as a result of being short-staffed, it contributed to his death. That if they had better staffing at the time, the home invasion robbery would have had more availability of staff members to show up and protect each other. Obviously, it's an incredible tragedy. Now, at the time, then spokesperson for the sheriff's office, Ed Schroyer, obviously now he is the sheriff, he told the News Tribune this.
He knew what he was going after were people that were burglarizing houses and out late at night and up to no good.
Meaning, the argument coming from the county is that everyone was aware of the staffing situation, and he took that risk when he showed up to work. Now, a Superior Court judge agreed with the county that he knew of the risks of the job. So we'll see what ends up happening with this case. It's likely not going to move forward, regardless of whether or not there is an appeal. And to be clear, it's probably the right decision based on those facts. We bring this up because it's important to, number one, understand the sacrifices that these officers are making, regardless of the department that they're serving. They are still showing up to work under really difficult circumstances. This, of course, was back in 2018, but the same, it's worse now as far as staffing. They're showing up knowing that they're understaffed and they're putting themselves in harm's way. They're doing that because that is the duty that they feel called to. They're trying to protect people. Right now, they're doing it at a time where you've got members of the media, politicians, and obviously activists calling them murderers, calling them out, demeaning them every step of the way. There are consequences to this. And you know what? At some point, officers are going to pay closer attention to what they're being called and how they're being treated. And then take a look at the staffing situation and say, you know what? I'm not going to put my life on the line to protect a community that doesn't care about me. And I'm not going to be here sitting there judging them for that. I'm not going to blame them for that. I am surprised that officers show up in the city we don't talk about during this segment because of the way the city treats them. So just keep that in mind when we talk about stories like this. Meanwhile, out in the city of Redmond, we talked about this the other day. They had the idea of paying people to spend time in the city. Come on down to Redmond. We are dealing with a COVID pandemic that has kept our hotels empty, our restaurants empty, and it's hurt us economically. So they're offering people some money in the form of gift cards, essentially, if they promise to stay in our hotels. Which presumably means they're going to go out and they're going to spend some money in restaurants and, you know, stores and whatnot. So Peter Clouser is the tourism director. And he was on Fox News this morning and he was talking with Dana Perino. He was so nervous. I've never seen someone so nervous on TV before.
I was really hoping he would, like, start sweating through his shirt.
He looked like he was sweating.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was bad. Now, here's my question. I have not previewed this audio. I saw it live when it happened, and I'm wondering if it comes off audibly.
Yes.
Does it? Oh, gosh, then I'm going to love it.
So here in the city of Redmond, we saw a sharp decline in our hotel travel here. We're heavily reliant on corporate travel.
It's doing all right.
Home of Microsoft here. Just 15 miles east of Seattle.
My throat is dry.
And Microsoft was one of the first companies in our area that said, just stay home when the pandemic hit. Mm. And so we were seeing occupancy down in the single digits last year. So as a solution, we came up with this idea of actually incentivizing people to stay in our hotels by just giving them cash. And as it turns out, giving them actually cash is not legal because these are tax dollars that we collect, lodging tax dollars. And so the solution was to actually give them a voucher that could be spent right here in our city, benefiting our local merchants, our restaurants, our retailers, and so on.
So he was given the opportunity to make the pitch to a national audience as to why they should come hang out in the city of Redmond.
That should be easy.
Do you think he did a good job?
I mean, he knows the material better than anybody.
Let's see if this is going to appeal to a national audience. Let's see.
So Redmond, you know, home and birthplace of Microsoft.
Nope.
Horrible selling point.
That's your selling point?
What are you going to do? Go and make a computer?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Come stand next to bland buildings that you're not allowed into.
Come see where Steve Ballmer parked his car for 20 years.
See that? You point to the clouds. That's like the cloud. They offer cloud services. That's Amazon does better.
Microsoft is, you know, is a great city full of all kinds of activities and attractions.
Like what? Like what? It's a city filled with attractions, and he led with Microsoft, something that you're not able to even go to and visit, right?
For our nature, our trails, our parks. We've got a lot of really great outdoor venues.
Name one.
We also have a lot of really great restaurants and boutique hotels. We've got some great activities. You know, there's escape rooms and an axe throwing facility. A lot of really great fun things to do. And then, you know, we're just 15 miles away from the city of Seattle. The Pacific Northwest is a beautiful area to explore and experience.
What a selling point.
That was
15 miles away from Seattle.
And people will be like, well, why don't we stay in Bellevue? That's only like 2 miles away. Oh my gosh. Dana responded by saying something along the lines of, I'll go throw an axe. She gave him a little bit of help.
Yeah, he needed it.
He did. She asked him if other cities are doing it as well, and then he just rambles on awkwardly.
Are other localities taking this approach to try to figure out a way? You know, people wanting to get back to normal, trying to get these vaccines, get back to work, back to travel. Are you seeing this elsewhere?
Yeah, we actually have seen this in a couple of other cities as well.
Like what?
And then this local currency, this gift certificate program that we've created, is actually being explored by several other cities. And as you know, this success has picked up. We're talking to several other East Side cities, just east of the city of Seattle, who are exploring the idea of maybe banding together and creating a East Side coalition where we do a phase two of this program.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck. I felt bad for him. But also good for him. He probably posted on his personal Facebook page. Look what I did.
He's probably a listener.
I was also mostly angry. I was like, you know, you could have reached out to a professional to talk about this.
Oh,
I was just on your show a few days ago, but then they probably realized I'm on Tucker today. And so normally you don't do two shows in the same day.
Normally. But you're not normal.
I break rules all the time.
And then
usually I'm all like, I didn't know that was a rule.
Because like,
you should have told me. I'm edgy. 1-800-465-8770. We just got a text. Please explain to your intern, Memento was a great movie.
Yeah, it was all right.
Okay, intern Peyton.
Oh, don't start with that.
I didn't call you an intern. They called you an intern.
You'll have to steer into it.
I just read the text, intern Peyton.
Put a little respect on producer Peyton.
Producer Ian.
You just promoted Ian?
Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show on KTTH. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be on Tucker Carlson later this evening. The video will be up at youtube.com/JasonRants. There's an interesting story out of an independent school district called the Spring Branch Independent School District. It's out near Houston, Texas. And it's concerning it's not necessarily a meme, it's a screenshot that's been posted online from a class over at Stratford High School outside of Houston, and it's causing some issues. It's got some controversy around it for this teacher who, as a result of a question that was put in front of their students, this teacher ended up getting put on administrative leave pending an investigation. Now, it doesn't matter who the teacher is to you guys, because we don't live in Houston, but it's one of those things. And by the way, I don't even know who the teacher is. They didn't put out the information as of now, but it is something that very easily could happen in any school district here in Washington State. In fact, it probably has in some way, shape, or form, maybe in just a different way. And it is so bad that folks like Mary, talking to KPRC television in Houston, who has a granddaughter in the classroom that was impacted here, was so troubled, she said this.
I get tears in my eyes. It stung.
What happened that she got tears in her eyes and it stung? It was the language that was used. So this photo, this screenshot, is of a warm-up activity within this classroom, just to get people talking, have a conversation, talk about important issues as the teacher sees it or maybe as the classroom sees it. And it has a photo of Tupac, and it has a quote from one of his lyrics. And the quote includes the N-word, because a lot of his music and a lot of rap music, for example, uses the N-word. Except it didn't say N-word. It spelled it out. And so it asks a question. How is the N-word complicated? How has it changed? But again, doesn't say N-word. It spells it all out. It's not so much that the question was asked that people are taking issue with. People were furious that the language itself was used, that it was spelled out.
That word did not need to come up on any screen with any children of any color. Thinking human is all you have to be. You don't have to be any color to understand that that was completely wrong of her to do.
It was. It was. This grandmother says that that choice to use that quote-unquote warm-up for the classroom was tactless. It was inappropriate. Maybe it was even racist. And apparently it made a whole bunch of the students there feel uncomfortable.
They obviously did not feel comfortable with this immediately. I'm just visualizing these kids sitting there, and this, she's in a position of authority.
Now, this is a high school, by the way, and I do think that that plays a little bit of a role into this. We're not talking about a kindergarten class. Blair is a graduate of this high school. She was confused with what the teacher was trying to even get across.
What was the point of it? Like, what lesson was she trying to teach?
Well, I think it's clear the lesson she was trying to teach, and I guess we can get to that in a second. Maybe a little unclear as why. But a current student at the school was also shocked.
It kind of made me a little bit uncomfortable.
It made him uncomfortable. I wonder if it makes him uncomfortable to listen to music with the N-word. We'll leave that for another discussion. But obviously, this grandmother, Mary, is hoping the district addresses this issue.
I would like kids to be safe physically and mentally.
Okay, so let's talk about this because it is an interesting concept, to me at least. It is undoubtedly true that the teacher did not have to use the actual N-word. There's no reason to spell it out. For example, I am having this conversation without using the actual N-word. I could. It's not against the law for me to use it. It's not even against FCC policy for me to use it. I could. This is a bona fide news story. I can actually use the N-word. I'm choosing not to because it's needless. You know exactly what we're talking about when I say that. And so just from a basic standpoint as to whether or not the language needed to be used, the answer is very clearly no. You didn't need to spell it out. The teacher chose to. Now, that goes to the why. And I do think that someone can convince themselves that the reason why they wanted to do it is because they wanted to make a point. And I do think that that is actually kind of the interesting part of this story. The whole idea, presumably, is that they're saying the N-word is complicated. How is the N-word complicated and how has it changed? Because obviously, at one point, it was used exclusively as a means to demean, right? To insult. But culturally, the N-word has changed, like so many other words have changed, where individuals have taken ownership of the word so that it takes away some of the sting. And that's why you hear it used the way it's used in some instances in music, in movies, in pop culture in general. And there are a lot of instances of how that's changed, or how words have been changed over time. It doesn't mean that it's not still used in racist ways, because it's obviously still used in racist ways, and it still has that sting, and there's obviously people who don't think anyone should ever use it ever, period. But we certainly have language on different issues with different groups that the group impacted itself uses it to try to take, quote unquote, ownership of it, to take the sting away and the power away from it. And I think that's clearly what this teacher was trying to do. Now, is that appropriate in a classroom? I don't know. Depends on the classroom. It depends on the age of the students. It depends on how much you prepared them for. But again, there's no reason to actually use the N-word. The conversation itself, I do think, is an important one and an interesting one. I do. And to me, the way that this question is phrased and the reason why they're doing it actually is in favor of the side that is using it to take away the sting, right? This sounds more like a more quote-unquote liberal perspective, which is to take ownership of a word and use it to change the power dynamics between the people who are usually using it for hate so that you can take away that power that they have over you with a word. That's my sense based on just looking at how the question was phrased and the context in which it was created. There's some people who I think have a weird way of talking about this, like, why can't we use the N-word? You use the N-word. And my response is always, why do you want to use the? I don't understand that. Because it's usually white people who will say that. And that part I just don't, like, why do you want to use it? Which is, by the way, my same response to anyone who says that about any slur that's been, you know, sort of used by its own group. Gay people, for example, will sometimes use the F-word. On the Jewish side, I don't really think anyone uses some of the Jewish, slang, offensive slang, but sometimes people will, Jews will jokingly talk about some of the stereotypes, about our us being cheap. Like, sometimes we'll make jokes about that, and when Jews do it, it's obviously not as offensive as when others do it. And, you know, I would say this, why can't I talk about how cheap Jews are? Well, because the context is different, and yes, in that case, there is a different use of, not necessarily power structure, but the context is different. Why do you want to use it? This is always my pushback. So in this case, I do think that this was just an inappropriate way to talk about an interesting and ultimately important conversation. The teacher just did it wrong. You just didn't need to do it, even if you're trying to make the point of, I can write it. That's my whole point. Writing it is to make you uncomfortable and talk about how complicated it is. Okay, well, you just can't do that in public schools or private schools anymore, for the most part. You just can't get away with that anymore. And she probably should have known that. I do think intent matters here, and I don't think there was anything here that suggests the intent was nefarious. What about you? Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. I would love to hear from you on that. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show, back with more at the top of the hour.